when somebody's not doing something the way I like it, I'm like, oh, you know, this is just giving me absolute
hives.
Yeah, hives all over.
Welcome to Burning in Hell.
What's up, guys? Welcome to hell. We're actually going to South African hell today because I am with Bugsy Drake, and you know her from Below Deck Med. She has just worked her way up the ranks to chief stewardess during her travels, and she's the queen of theme, and she has a book out now called The Art of Tablescaping, and I am so excited to dig deep into this creative mind and world traveler. Bugsy, welcome to hell. How are you?
Anna, thanks so much for having me. I'm so good. And you?
I'm good. I'm excited to meet you because I am a fucking mess. I am, like, when it comes to aesthetics and details, I'm not that person, but you seem to kind of like have your aesthetic and style so together. What inspires your creativity and like wanting to make everything look beautiful?
Well, let me first say that looks can be completely deceiving because it's all for show. No, I'm joking. I don't know. I'm so inspired by pretty much everything that, you know, life has to offer. I get inspired by the weirdest things. I am pretty much a bit of a weirdo. So people are always like, how do you get inspired by that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just find things. I'm one of those really annoyingly positive people, I'd say, that just, yeah, finds inspiration in the little
toxic positivity. Mm-hmm. But it is all perspective. It is all perspective. Like, you could see the world in a certain way and you're choosing to like find beauty in it. And I fucking love that. Did you ever expect to be on reality TV?
Oh gosh, probably not. I was like, I don't know if I'm way too boring for this shit, but like I ended up on it. And let me say that it's been a wild ride, like an absolutely wild ride. I've learned so much about myself.
Because you're doing reality TV charters and then you're doing real charters because that's what you do for a living. Are you getting recognized and is it like changing your perspective on the whole chartering business?
I mean, definitely. I think it's crazy. It's like people are so into Below Deck right now. It's like five people are chartering boats, in all honesty. It's gone from this like super luxury lifestyle to like people just wanting to be on a boat so they can replicate Below Deck. And like so much like how can I say, there's just so much expectation because I think people that charter boats these days that come on, they always like jump straight onto the crew and they're like, okay, so who's sleeping with who? You know, is this going down? What's going down Below Deck? And it's like, you know, you've got to keep this professional front, but at the same time, it's like, there is so much going down Below Deck.
Yeah. But also even with reality TV, it's like there's stuff going on in front of the camera, but there's a lot of drama going on behind the camera too.
I'm telling you, and you know what the craziest part about it is? Like, I've been on boats where it has been like tenfold to what I've experienced on Below Deck Med, like tenfold.
Shit gets
crazy.
You
know, you're living in these tight quarters, you're living in a bunk bed, it's just absolutely dire. You have nowhere to store your clothes.
Shit gets heat, it's like a pressure cooker, and you're also like wanting to perform. So when you first started, I feel like you're kind of type A, or like you're determined to show that like you can do a good job. Were you scared that like people would think you're bad at your job going on the show?
Oh, for sure. Especially when I did season two, because like I was already working in stewardess, and then, you know, I started Below Deck in Below Deck season two, and I came as Hannah's second stew, but you know, I'd worked as a chief stew, and I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to dial this down and tone it down enough to still be able to do my job and like, you know, look good, but at the same time, you know, take direction
not
from somebody above me?
Because
I'm pretty much like, 100%. And I'm an absolute control freak. So like when somebody's not doing something the way I like it, I'm like, oh, you know, this is just giving me absolute
hives.
Yeah, hives all over.
I want to know, what's your astrological sign?
So I'm a Gemini.
Oh, Gemini is getting a lot of hate recently on social media, but I always got along with them because I feel like you're hardworking, but then you have a good party side.
Right. I think that's why I always like joke about like looks can be deceiving, because I've got this one side of me that's like super like perfectionist, and then this other side of me that's like this complete mess, and it's like I never want people to see that. I'm like, okay, I've got to like just be, you know, this like as perfect as it can be. But on the other side, I'm like, you know, when I come home now, my mom's like, are you even a stewardess? You come home, you're like lazy, you're always in your freaking sweats, like you're not put together. Like, mom, this is the real me, okay? Not like it wasn't the real me on the show, but like I have a completely different side.
Yeah, but as a perfectionist, it must be scary to put all of yourself out there with hidden cameras all the time and have people kind of picking you apart. How do you emotionally deal with that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, I can remember being on the show and I was like, you know, I'm giving this like persona, well, not like persona, but I'm trying to be this like perfect, like chief steward, like especially when I like stepped into that role in season 5. And then I like walk in and pick up a big tray of like champagne glasses and they just like fly everywhere. And I'm looking over at the camera and they just like, yeah, you see? And I'm like, yeah, okay. I just got to let loose. This happens.
You almost have to lean into it. Like, I'm going to make mistakes and it's going to be entertaining. So everyone buckle up.
I think like season 5, you know, season 2 was the first time I'd ever been on a reality show. So it was like, people had warned me going into it. They're like, be careful. You know, they cut and edit and make things seem different. And, you know, they can portray you in a certain way. And because I still work in the industry, I was like so nervous coming into this. Yeah. Because I was like, this is the first time I'm doing it and it's going to be viewed by like thousands of people and real captains in the industry that like afterwards, like, am I going to get another job off the show? But then when I came back to season 5, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do me, be me, have fun, just show my like real side, because I was at that point just like, okay, people know me right now. I'm like super crazy. And, you know, like I love to have fun. I love I'm just like a big clown all the time. So I was like, I'm just going to let loose and just, yeah, have a blast with it.
And people critique you saying like that you're too much or you're over the top. I fucking hate that shit as a woman, because I don't feel like people ever say that to men. But how do you like embrace, or like, are you ever afraid of being too much for people?
Growing up with a dad who's like very much about like shock value. He says like the craziest stuff at the most inappropriate times. And, you know, when I was younger growing up, I was like, Dad, like, stop. This is so embarrassing. And I feel like I'm, like, morphing into him. Like, the older I get, I'm, like, all about the shock value. And I'm, like, all about being over the top and, like, whatever. You know, the more it shocks people, the more I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
And that's amazing for TV and also just, like, a fun way to live your life, because I think I like interviewing too, because I love to just like see people's reactions. It makes you feel alive to like put people in like slightly uncomfortable situations, and like then you feel closer after if you survive it. Why did your parents name you Bugsy? Because before I even saw you on the show, when you were just introduced, I was like, I like her because her name is Bugsy and that's a fucking cool name. Or is it a common name in South Africa?
Oh no, definitely not. And the funniest thing is, so like my real name's Christine, which is like completely opposite to Bugsy. And Christine just like does not suit me at all. It's like this very like proper sort of name. And my parents call me Bugsy because it's so lame. I wish I had a better story to it, but it's like when I was little, they just used to call me Little Bug, and it was like Bugs, and then it stuck. Then my brother like started calling me Bug, and literally like anyone I work for, like employers, like whatever, it's always Bugs or Bugsy.
I think it's adorable. I also, I'm not great with like hierarchy, and I'm not great with, I mean, customer service, I'm okay. It's just exhausting to me to like put on a smile all the time. What's the hardest thing about being in customer service?
I think it's putting on a smile all the time.
Like, it drives me, because I have a very expressive face, but I could just, oh, you just like have to get like, you just have to eat shit a lot, I feel like. Like, you have to put your ego aside.
I think you're pretty good on the show, to be honest. I'd love to see your facial expressions. I think that's the thing for me, is they didn't actually, on the show, they didn't capture a lot of my facial expressions. I think obviously, you know, they took one way of like what, but they are times that I just want to, you know, just slap a bitch.
What's worse than dealing with like annoying customers is annoying customers who are drunk, because like they have no boundaries.
Right.
So, I mean, imagine dealing with your friend who you love when she's drunk. She's annoying as fuck. And then dealing with people who think that you owe them like everything because they're paying for something and they're asking for ridiculous shit. I mean, that's the best part about Below Deck, I think, is watching. But do these people realize that, like, do they care that they might be edited bad or they might like look like assholes on TV?
I mean, I don't even think so. I think they themselves are people who like want to shock and like really want to shock the crew. And I think that's the best part of the industry for me. And like when you talk about customer service, like for me, I always take it as a challenge. Like I'm going to smile and be nice to your face, but I'm like, it's on. You know what I mean? Like you want to ask or demand this? It's like, I'm going to show you I can do it and tenfold, like completely flip it around on you. And like I think that's the best part for me is like I just think it's a complete challenge.
Well, I think you have a great almost like competitive attitude about it, to like try to succeed and not take it as like this sucks. But what makes your show so difficult, like as compared to Summer House that I filmed, is not only is it like an actual job you're doing, but you're dealing with the other cast members and you don't really know what their motives are. But then additionally, you're dealing with the people who are you're serving, the customers, and they're like have their own motives. So like you're battling, and then you're dealing with your own mind that is probably battling with you as well. So that is a clusterfuck.
Oh, for sure. I think that's the biggest thing, because you are literally like playing this minefield like with everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like you don't even know until the show actually comes out, like half the shit that was going on that you might not have been involved in, but you are involved in some way.
Yeah, you didn't know that you're involved in.
right. And you watch it back and you're like, what? Like how? Like when? I don't even know how that happened. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think that's the thing. It's like, could be something going on around the corner or like down the stairs and you are somehow involved in it. And you're just like, what the hell?
Also, I kind of love your energy. I feel like you're very authentic to yourself. You're not trying to fit in some other way. But how'd you get your confidence, and what are you actually insecure about?
So I think being obviously like a perfectionist is like a big insecurity. I went to school before I did like any of this, and I've always grown up being like very much like wanting, like, you know, like being in plays at school and being like a lead role. And like, I always just had a passion for it. So I think for me, it's always like, you know, and I'm competitive. So I want to be like front and center, and like, I thrive off like some form of like attention. So I need to know that like,
which is self-aware of you.
Right. So I think like, you know, you want to have the reassurance that what you're doing is right. You know, and I think like even how, like when I first did season 2, I dealt with like so much hate coming in, like with Hannah, and having this big problem with Hannah in season 2, because her and I did not see eye to eye, and she'd already been on season 1 and like, you know, gathered this fan base already. So when I came in and started like, you know, confronting her and being true to myself in that respect, you know, I went through a hell of a lot in that season 2 of just being completely like scrutinized and pulled apart for no reason other than the fact that, you know, her fans were protecting her and taking her side. And I think, you know, on season 2, I lost my gran as well. And people like said the most awful things to me when I was like dealing with an emotional sort of, you know, ordeal. So I just realized how just awful humans can be. And I was like, okay, you know, take a step. And when I take a step back from it and like look at it from like for what it is, and when I came back in season 5, like my whole family was like, are you sure you want to do this? Because you hit like a real low point after season 2. And I was like, you know what, like I think it will be good for me to like grow as a person and like just to, you know, come back stronger and kind of take on the haters and, you know, turn them into lovers, hopefully, if that's the case, you know. And so again, I saw it as a challenge, but I think that is like an insecurity. Like, I think, you know, I do kind of feed off reassurance that what I'm doing is the right thing, which is very hard for reality TV. Yeah. Because they can put you in so many different situations that nobody, like, there's never going to be 100% of the audience that's going to agree with what you're doing. And I think that means
something. If you're too, like, coachable and you're too, like, not thinking of what you want to do, you'll put yourself in situations that are just, like, not authentic to you, or just, like, you get in a place where you don't want to be. But after that first season that you, because a lot of people's first seasons, they want you to be likable and they want people to, like, get on with you so that then if things happen, they have opinions. But, like, you go in, you deal with a lot of hate. What were the years like before you came on to season 5? Like, did it hurt your, like, confidence in yourself or your ego, or how did you deal with that emotionally?
I mean, I think when it was all happening and, like, up until a year after the show, I was dealing with, like, a lot of, like, inner turmoil about it, because I was thinking, mm-hmm. like, you know, am I this person? People, they're, like, calling me out about my looks, you know, like, about my character, about my family. And I was just like, geez, mm-hmm. this is hectic. You know, this is before I completely understood the mind of a troll. you know, I was like, it was very hard to deal with, I would say, for the first year. And then, like, after that, I kind of pulled myself away from the whole Below Deck Bravo sort of thing, because I wasn't on the show anymore. And I was just like, you know what, I'm not going to interact. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm not going to, you know, because a lot of people come off shows and they just continue. Like, I know a lot of previous cast on Below Deck who haven't come back for the next seasons, whatever, they still stay very much involved in what's happening with the seasons that they're not in, you know, commenting on Twitter and, like, on Instagram and posting things. And I just kind of removed myself from it all, and now I'm gonna live my best life. And so I kind of completely, that's why when they asked me to come back for season 5, it, like, kind of hit me out of the blue, because I came in, like, one charter in, and it was literally, mm-hmm. they called me the day of, and I flew out the next day. So it was like, I didn't have a lot of time to think about it. I was just like, you know what, like, this is a chance for, like, you know, what do you call it? Like, redemption. Exactly. And so I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And let's see what happens.
It's funny because I watched season 5, but I hadn't watched season 2. So I just kind of was like, oh, she has some history, and, like, let's see how this goes. You explained that you understood the mind of a troll. Can you explain what that means?
Well, I mean, like, in terms of, I can't really understand the mind, but I understand what a troll is, you know? And I think these people who have, like, zero followers, and they create these accounts that, like, they just want to sit there and attack you and pull you apart. And, you know, everyone always said to me, look, they're just typing on a keyboard from, like, a basement somewhere, like, you know, don't worry about it. And
in their mom's basement.
mom or dad's basement. Exactly. And I try to be kind. And, like, I've learned that a lot over the years, and especially after Below Deck season 2, because I was like, you know what, these people are obviously so torn apart themselves. And, you know, that saying, hurt people hurt people. That's exactly what I see a troll to be.
And they are super loud, which can be hard. And especially just living your own private life to then being put in the public, and immediately you're getting that backlash. You're like, oh, is this me? And I just didn't know who I was. Like, and they will hit on everything. And you're just like, oh my God, have I just been, I should be worried about these things. But then you realize that it's all this, like, inner turmoil on their end. And I do think, you do almost embrace kindness more, because you realize how much hate there is, and how, like, who knows, you just smiling at a stranger could help them not attack a celebrity on Twitter later that day.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the thing as well, is just that, you know, these people come out and they attack every single thing about you. And I think, like, just what you said is like, oh my gosh, do I really look like this? Am I really acting that way? Do I really sound like that? And, you know, I think it's all very surface level. So when you kind of, and you can completely get wrapped up in it, like I did. And I think, you know, I had a completely different experience from season 2 versus season 5. You know, there was a lot of controversy and a lot of focus on season 5 on the mental health issues, which I, like, by association got dragged into. And I think that was very hard for me because I kind of wanted to speak up so much about it. But, you know, every time I did, people would just bash me back saying like, you know, they would kind of try and say that I was trying to justify myself, which I wasn't. All of a sudden, you know, this bubble surrounds you that you can't get out of. And it's not true to what it is. It's just this mob mentality of people jumping on the bandwagon. And it's scary because people can completely throw you.
It wasn't just like about mental health. It's with the combination of people's like reality TV bullshit. So it's like, it was like, which side are you on? Like, it wasn't actually really, really about mental health. There was a lot of like other negativity going in. But speaking of, do you deal with anxiety?
I mean, I would say I deal more with depression than anxiety. Mm. I would say like it's more of, you know, it's one of these things that like I've kind of grown up with. I'm 31 now. I turned 31 this year. And, you know, even living this nomadic lifestyle, I'm kind of, I kept putting it off when I hit 30 because I turned 30 during COVID. And I was like anticipating this massive Queen of Theme bash and, you know, like having so much fun. And so my birthday kind of fell end of May, which was just before I came back on Below Deck Med, which I was so excited about. And there's all these exciting things happening. And then it's like in the middle of COVID and we were on lockdown in our yacht in Florida. And I think at the time I was the only female stewardess on board and I had five guys on the boat. So I was literally looking after these five guys, like in the middle of like COVID and, you know, it was my birthday and then I'm turning 30 and I'm like all by myself. And, you know, guys don't really celebrate birthdays like girls do. That might be a bit of a generalization. World, they don't really care. So I was like, what am I going to do? This is so depressing. I'm literally turning 30 and we're not even having a celebration. And then on top of that, it's like, you know, I'm 30. I'm like in yachting still. I thought I was only going to be here for like 4 years or 5 years. And I've now been doing it for 9 years. And I'm like, yeah, so turned 31 just like a couple of months ago. And I'm like, what am I doing with my life? And I think that's such a massive trigger for me, like to go to these really low points. And being such a person, like not a lot of people know that about me. And, you know, I think that's something I try to keep very private because I never want to seem like I'm, you know, it's like a pity party or anything because some people can attack you for that too.
And I also do think sometimes the happiest, smiliest people can be people who are the saddest sometimes because you like know how sad it is to be sad. that was you know what I'm trying to say. So like you want to just spread joy as much as you can because you're like being sad sucks, but yeah, and then you don't want people to know like the extent of how not happy you are.
Yeah, I think that's also like a massive deflection on my part.
We have to get to this book because it's beautiful. It's different. Like, it's not the stereotypical Bravo celebrity book that comes out. Why do you love Tablescapes so much?
I think, again, it's like one of these things that's like such an escape for me. And it's like so much fun to do. And I think that's another part of me that comes out in it is like I'm still like a big kid. I always joke about having like Peter Pan syndrome, like I just never want to grow up. And I feel like tablescaping for me is like one of those things. Like people look at me like, are you serious? You're setting tables for fun? Like how old are you? And I'm like, you know, let me be. This is the joy in my life. And I think that's why I love to create magic. And I'm so all about like these like imaginative worlds and these crazy worlds that like, you know, these tables can transport you to. And like, I also just being that again, like that really over the top, annoyingly positive person, I think like every meal should be celebrated. And that's what I love to bring out in my tables.
I love that so much because a therapist did tell me once that like growing up, kids being able to play is like an integral thing to having happiness as an adult, is like being able to go back to that place in your head of just like innocent play where you're not like worried about your taxes or like paying the bills. Right. And I think it's I could see it being really therapeutic to just, it's like painting, but also the people get to like experience what you created. I fucking love it. Where can people buy the book? On Amazon?
So on Amazon, pretty much like any places you can buy a book. Target, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, it's all over.
The Art of Tablescaping. Right before we play our final game, I just need to know. I heard you met Justin Bieber. What happened?
So I met him in St. Bart's. Like, I was picking up one of my boss's assistants from the airport, and I was like, he said, oh my gosh, Justin Bieber just got off my flight. And they're those really tiny flights, right? So I was like, well, he couldn't have gone too far. And I'm like such a stalker for celebrities. I'm like, let's go find him. Guys, like, you're so embarrassing. And I'm like, I don't care. When will we ever see Justin Bieber in our lives again? And anyway, he was like standing in the car park with his like whole entourage of like these massive bodyguards. And I was like, I was in this massive like black Cadillac, like this huge one with the tinted windows. And I was like getting so excited. Yeah. Like, I'm just gonna roll up to him and like, he's so gonna like wanna come up and say hi. Anyway, like drove up to him, put the window down, was literally like a meter away from him. And like my boss's assistant like had a cap on, like a baseball cap, and he's like literally on the floor like hiding, and was like, Justin, what's up? And he like, gave me the peace sign and was like, yo. And I was such an anti-climax, but it was sick. I like got to,
but you know what, that's not a negative response. It's not a negative response, and I'm proud of you, because sometimes you just have to do stuff for the story, you know.
Oh my gosh, for sure. I promise you, if there's ever like...
And now you could talk about it on podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not one of those girls that's just going to like run up and scream and like want to have a photo. But like, if there's somebody there that I need to meet, I'm like walking straight up to them.
It's how you do it. And if you're casual, just like, I love your work or like big fan, whatever, they're not going to mind. It's when you like make a huge scene and yell or like sit down at their dinner table that there's a problem and then you get removed physically. Bugsy, you're doing amazing in hell. It's time to play the seven deadly sins.
Seven deadly sins.
What are you greedy about?
Chocolate.
Ooh, what kinds?
I love Cadbury, like milk chocolate. And I'm also a huge fan of Lindt. I know it's cliched, but I love Lindt.
We respect that. Who are you envious of?
There's a lot of people out there. I gotta say my mom, actually, because she is like so fit and so young, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to be you when I'm your age.
Well, hopefully you will with genetics. That's so cute. So is your mom like someone in your life that you look up to and has and you're close with?
Oh, definitely. She's like my best friend. I always like call myself her clone, which is kind of weird, but like, you know, I just like, I got my passion for like tables and like all my style and stuff from her, and she's the bomb.com.
Oh, I feel the same way about my mom, because I'm turning 32 and I still call her about like every minor inconvenience, but it's like what brings me joy. So I'm not going to grow up, and I love you, mom.
I love her.
Side note, this book came out and you said you didn't think you'd be in yachting for too long. What are you manifesting for your future right now? I sound like I'm in a job interview, but I'm just curious.
No, that's good. I got like so many ideas, but I'd love to have like either like a really cool out there events company where I just like pitch up at your house and set the most awesome theme. Or I would love to do like a really cool travel show around the world, like going into the way that people set their tables around the world.
Ooh, that's great. I like them both. Or a show about doing events around the world as well. Yeah, I'm manifesting it with you. Hell yeah. And yeah, you'll still get like customers being assholes and you get a little drama.
Of course, why not, right?
Ooh, I'm excited to ask you this. When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath, like anger?
Probably about like 3 days ago.
What happened?
Brother was home, and like my brother and I have this like complete love-hate relationship. We're also like really close, but he was just like, we had to get to this like dinner, and he was taking so long that we ended up being like half an hour late, and I was just like kicking and screaming like a banshee. Like, you have no idea. I was like complete like devil woman. I get like that when I...
Your brother's the perfect person to freak out on, because it's like... It's your brother. Handle it.
Oh my gosh, 100%. Like one of these guys that we still have like those child fights, you know, when you like slap each other and it like gets really violent.
You poke
each
other.
Okay, I love you. Yeah.
When was the last time you were a sloth? So like a lazy person all day.
Okay, probably today. I literally just put on some makeup for the podcast. It's sloth. I'm like, that's what I was saying. I'm like a sloth at home. Like, that's why I say my mom is like, who are you?
You're a Gemini.
Yes, exactly. And so, well, like, and so is my mom, but she doesn't seem to have the sloth side that I have. Like, my sister even got me like a little sloth thing to add to my phone because, like, I, you know, my mom's like, are you even a stewardess? Like, what do you do when you are not like that? Take like 15 days to unpack my bag since I got home. And it's just been like lying on my floor with like clothes.
Same.
And everyone's just like, okay, who are you?
You could turn, it's called balance. This is a tough one. When was the last time you let your pride or your ego get in the way of something, whether it's a job or a relationship?
I think it could have been on a charter the last time. It's just like, you know, I had this like chef that I worked with, and him and I did not see eye whatsoever, because I was like, front house, you're back of house, but you're presenting the food, and like, I know you've got a tough job, but so do I. And like, it was just one of these like really heated arguments that happened.
But it's good that you stand up for yourself and you don't just like let a chef just kind of run the show if you disagree, because you have a show to run as well.
Right. I think that's like the hardest thing for chefs when they work with me, because I am very like confrontational and outspoken. So like, you can get people in my position that are just like, okay, cool. I'm like, no way, not happening today, buddy. And like, that's how it goes, you know, and that's
what I love.
I'm like,
it's called boundaries.
I'm like, it's my way or the highway.
When was the last time you lusted over someone? So do you have like a celebrity crush or someone on a charter?
Okay, so I haven't had like enough people to lust over on the charters that I've had recently at all.
I also read that you are like against boatmances. So like, you don't like hooking up on charters, but that takes a lot of self-control, I feel like, because you're probably alone, you're horny, you're stressed, and like, work crushes are real, like where there's a decent looking guy, but he's the hottest one. You could just start like fantasizing about him. And next thing you know, you're like in love with this guy you would never even look at off a boat.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I think I've done that like also with like really older, like silver fox charter guests that have come on. And I'm like,
oh, yes.
Okay, but he's like 40 years your senior. Stop. Like, just stop. This is not you. And I'm like, but is it me? I don't know. This, like, he's really hot. And like, I don't know. And you know, like, you're like in the bubble, so you don't see land for days, or you're not like in a social environment for days, so it's kind of like whatever you can get.
I know. Well, we love silver foxes on this pod. Bugsy, to wrap this up, I have one final question. What advice would you give on how to cope with your hell when you're going through it?
What I do is like, I obviously I get up and I get changed, like have a shower, get dressed, that's what I do, and then I put on some like real kick-ass music. I like stand in front of the mirror and I just give it my all with great dance moves. That's what I do, and I end up making people laugh because I'm being such an idiot, and I'm like, okay, you're a weirdo. If somebody walks in this room right now, they're gonna be like, what the hell. Like, also something that's really got to me recently, that my family is like, you need to stop this, but like, I've become so obsessed with TikTok, and it's taking over my life, because like, I'm like properly on TikTok. I just make these videos, save them, then delete them, and I it is like so hilarious, and people are like, okay, you need to stop that now because it's becoming your life, like what are you doing? But I'm like obsessed, and I never knew TikTok could be so addictive, but I think that's like,
you need to start posting.
People think like, this girl's crazy, because yeah.
Well, I think that's what's great about you, because you kind of own all your shit, and I like your toxic positivity, especially knowing that you go through all your own shit and you still put a smile on your face, which is what makes you good at chartering, I think. But Bugsy, where can people follow you? Where can they buy your stuff? Where can they in the future watch your TikToks?
Right, so I'm on everything Bugsy Drake, super simple. I've kept it real simple. I'm on Instagram, good. Twitter, and soon to be TikTok. Yeah, very, very simple, Bugsy Drake.
And then the name of your book is The Art of Tablescaping by the Queen of Theme. It said from rustic outdoor gatherings to glam as all get out soirees. figure out how to get your own party started with inspiration from Bugsy. I'm obsessed. I think it's time to have a hot girl summer, a hot tablescape summer. Bugsy, thank you so much for coming to Hell.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so fire.
Yeah, fire. And we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Ha 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 ha